Well, the series of discourses that have been prepared for us at this convention, it arose really from a class study in Sacramento of the Book of Ephesians. And at the time the program was made up, we were in the fourth chapter, and we were studying verses 4-6. So it was suggested that this would be a good topic for our convention. And there seemed to be unanimous agreement with that. And so that was the birth of the substance of the most of our program for this convention. And so as a result of that, though, there have been a number of assigned topics. And the first of these is tonight, Brother Burton Brown is going to speak to us on the subject of one body. And just to place that in context, we might read that, and this is the Williams translation. It says, "There is but one body and one spirit, just as there is but one hope resulting from the call you have received. There is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over us all, who pervades us all, and who is within us all." So Brother Burton is going to have the first topic of this passage of Scripture. And so he's going to tell us about the one body. So Brother Burton will now give us his lesson. Brother Burton.
Thank you very much, Brother Al. Indeed, a pleasure for Sister Nancy and I to be with you this evening and at convention. We look forward to this and realize again that wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, there the Lord will be. And we are looking forward to a lesson, blessing from the Lord, as we consider these various subjects of, as has been mentioned by Brother Al. If you look at your program, One Spirit by Brother Furnett, and then Brother One Hope by Brother Allers, One Lord, Brother Gorecki, One Faith, Brother Bleachers, One Baptism by Brother Chandler, One God and Father by Brother Wade Austin. And I'm sure that all of these various lessons that we will hear for the next 2 days are important for us as an outline for the Christian's walk. For those who are endeavoring to walk in the footsteps of the Master, and as the Apostle Paul says, that we might walk without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Certainly these are important lessons for us, for those who are endeavoring to become sons of God on a spiritual plane. We realize that as of now, the Lord has said that we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And that is a wonderful promise for us. And so, as Brother Al has mentioned, our subject this evening is one body. And on these scriptures that we'll be hearing about, there's a purpose for all this. And I like what the Apostle has said in this fourth chapter, "But to every one of us is given grace." Yes, we have received the grace of God. And what is this all for? This coming together, the meeting together in like precious faith. He says it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. There are three things that he's mentioning here. For the perfecting of the saints, preparing us individually for a place in the kingdom so that we may be able to live and reign with Him 1,000 years. We must be perfected for that. And being perfected for that, he goes on to say that it's for the work of the ministry. We're all working together for the work of the ministry. And how do we do that? It's the proclaiming of the gospel of the kingdom. That's what the Lord started out to do in his very first part of the ministry. It was proclaiming the kingdom of God. And that is really part of our work. Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The work of the ministry. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying of who? Of those who are being called according to his purpose. Yes, this edification we expect to receive in these next couple of days, instructing us as to how we should walk and what our manner of life should be as we draw nigh unto him and as he draws nigh unto us. And then he tells us the reason for this, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As a man in the fullness of the stature of Christ. In the body of Christ. Of the Christ. And then he goes on to say that we henceforth be no more children. This is quite a warning to us. That we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yes, remember the Lord says if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. And here Paul is reiterating this fact that there are those that would lie in wait ready to deceive who? Those who are being perfected and made ready for this kingdom work. And then he says, but we speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted about by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, what body is he talking about? We realize that there are many different kinds of bodies. The Apostle Paul talks about there are bodies celestial, there are bodies terrestrial. But Paul mentions that each of these have their own function. And so far as we're concerned, we know what the terrestrial body's function is to proclaim the gospel for the edifying of the rest of the body. So far as the spirit, the celestial bodies are concerned, we don't know what they're doing. The Lord hasn't revealed that to us. But Paul is saying that we have one kind of body. And this, he says, we have been called. We have been called to the body of Christ, of the Christ, to the anointed, to be a part of the anointed body. And we're going to have a lesson on that too. And what does the anointed mean? It's the Christ. And so he says that we are called to this anointed body as Christians, followers of the Master. Writing to the brethren at Ephesus in the first chapter and the 15th verse, Paul goes on to say, 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the exact knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And what a tremendous thing that was. Our Lord was set at the right hand of God, set down upon the throne of God. It's something that we can't imagine. But he says that we have been given this privilege, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Yes, these things he gave to our heaven, our Lord. But he says he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all the church. And remember what the word church means. You know what the word church is? Those who have been called out. He's given him to be the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Yes, he's likening the church, those who have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light of the gospel, to be part of the body. Yes, this anointed body is the Christ. And have we been anointed? We're going to hear that too. We've been anointed, which ye have received of him, abideth in you, because you are in the body. And if you weren't in the body, you would never have received that anointing. And so it is, writing to the brethren at Ephesus, Paul continued to say in the 15th verse, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith and of your love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation." In this exact knowledge, just as exact, just as knowledge in the King James, but you read that, it is the exact knowledge of him. Yes, that we may be part of his body. This body work is recognizing at the time of this writing that there was a change in dispensations had taken place. And from the time that Israel had lost favor and was cast off, the Gentiles had had the opportunity of now coming in to this wonderful body arrangement. And in Ephesians, the first chapter, in the sixth verse, he relates this to us, because there were both the Jews and the Gentiles in the church at that time. And he says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Talking really about Jew and Gentile. "In whom we have deliverance through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us all in all wisdom and prudence." Yes, he has abounded to us in all this wisdom and prudence. And in the first verse of the third chapter, he goes on to say, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." And what was that mystery that he was talking about? Well, we like to think that it was the mystery that the Gentiles had now been come in. And isn't that what he continues to say? That is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of His Spirit in Christ by the gospel. And then in the ninth verse, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from beginning of the world has been made in God, who created all things by Christ. And this mystery, Paul is also relating to us in the words of Colossians. Remember, even this mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And what was that mystery? That the Gentiles would be sharers with the Jew in the body. That mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. A wonderful hope that we have as Gentiles being grafted into the body. We have many other scriptures along that line, of course. Remember, Apostle Paul tells us in Romans about the Jew, the wild olive branches being grafted in while the natural branches are broken off. It's the same picture of this mystery that has been hidden. The Jewish brethren, of course, and rightly so, believing that they were the only chosen ones of God up to that time, no doubt had a difficult a time in accepting these Gentile brethren into the church, accepting them that they were of this highly favored body. And so he says, therefore, in this text in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation or the work wherein ye have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of what Spirit? It was the Spirit between the Jew and the Gentile. That there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the one hope of your calling. The calling was to the body. The calling was to the church, to those who have been called out from the world. And he's saying that now, you Jews and Gentiles, there should be unity of that Spirit. And having unity of the body, he goes on to say that there is but the one body. In Romans, the 12th chapter, reading the fourth and the fifth verses, Romans 12, 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Again, he's speaking about this time of the dispensational change that had taken place between Jew and Gentile, between the end of the old law covenant and the covenant of grace, in which the Gentiles were granted to share in this wonderful work. Of course, talking about the one body, we all remember the text that Paul told us about in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, one that we're all very familiar with. He's likening this body to a natural body. And he's saying that there's much importance here because we're all members of the same body. The members of the body in Europe, Poland, Romania, Nigeria, Africa, we're all one body. It's the body of Christ, the anointed. And so Paul is saying in this 12th chapter, beginning in the 12th verse, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is the Christ. And I like the diglot on that, puts in that little the anointed. We're part of the anointed class. So also is the Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then continuing on in the 15th verse, he goes on to say, and he likens this to the natural body, the foot shall not say to the hand, I have no need of thee, and to the eye, and so forth. But he goes on, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Remember one sister back in Pennsylvania had a bad bunion on a toe. So painful. Had to have an operation one time. She said, take it off. Get rid of that bunion. So they took it off. And you know, she had to learn how to walk all over again. That one little member is a necessary part of the body, no matter how small, how feeble it may seem to be. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. Another word for that honor is value. We bestow a lot of value on those little members. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely or honorable parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. And why? Goes on to say that there should be no division in the body. Unfortunately, there is a division in the body at times, but Paul is saying this should not be so. However, back there he was talking again about Jew and Gentile, but we can talk about it today, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. It has to be a body. We are the body of Christ, and we have a care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. I like the Diagot translation on that. And whether one member suffer, all the members sympathize together. And isn't that true? When we have difficulties, we sympathize with the other, one another. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And why is this? He tells us. Because ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Participating members, the dialogue says. We participate in this wonderful body. Yes, it's important that we have these various functions in the body. And as we function together, as members in particular, participating members, we really have to ask ourselves the question, are you one of the body members? Am I one of the body? Have you been called according to this purpose? Have I been called? What is the church? The church which is his body. One member. And as the members of the body of Christ, we have many wonderful promises. Promises of joint heirship with our Lord and Savior. Members, when we reach the consummation of our hope, of living and reigning with him 1,000 years. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the Lord shall name. And thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. What wonderful hope. And so, if we do consider ourselves part of that body, what is our work at this present time? I like a statement. I'm sure you've all read it before. To us, the scriptures clearly teach that the present mission of the church, those who have been called out, is the perfecting of the saints for the future work of service, to develop in herself every grace to be God's witness to the world and to prepare to be kings and priests in the next age. What a wonderful hope. What a wonderful promise. And what a wonderful work that we have as being members of this one body. May the Lord have his blessing.
Well, I'm sure we want to thank Brother Burton for that discourse on the body of Christ. It's certainly something that is edifying for each one of us. And it gives us a real appreciation of really what it's all about, because we're co-heirs or joint heirs with Christ, and we have a share in the blessings that he's going to bring to all the world. So we surely do want to thank Brother Burton, and I'm sure that the lessons that are to follow are going to be just as helpful for us. So these are things that we should all take to mind and take these into our hearts and our minds and apply them in our everyday lives. Brother Burton will dismiss us with prayer.
Our beloved and gracious Heavenly Father, once again as we bow our heads and our hearts before Thee, we do thank Thee for the privilege that we have of coming together as a body of Thy people. We thank Thee for the privilege that we have of knowing Thee as our Heavenly Father, and for the privilege that we have of knowing Thy wonderful plans and purposes, and the share that we may have if we have been found faithful in the carrying out of our covenant of sacrifice to Thee. And now we do pray that Thou will continue with us in our fellowship, bless the further session of this convention, and continue to guide and direct not only us, but our brethren, those who are endeavoring to serve Thee in spirit and in truth everywhere. And once again we do pray, Thy kingdom to soon come, and Thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. These blessings we ask now, in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.